This message was recorded live at Grace Chapel Ministries, O'Brien, Florida, on March 23, 2014. Brother Mike McInnes, Hebrews chapter 6. Scripture reading by Brother Al Cloud. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of dead faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them, who through faith, patience, inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And now, Brother Mike.
Verse 18 is specifically what I wanted to, 18 and 19. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now the hope of God's people is that which is set before them. That's what he said there. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, faith and hope are very closely related, but faith and hope are not the same thing. Faith is something that has an object. Our faith is that which is Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our faith. Christ who is our faith. Faith is the gift of God. And so, faith is that which has a basis, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody asks us what it is that we believe, we say we believe Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. Now, Paul speaks about faith and he speaks about hope in that passage of Scripture. He says, I know whom I have believed. Now, the man who has fled for refuge to Christ is that man who has a hope that is caused by the faith that he's been given. Now, if a man's been given faith, then he sees the basis upon which all other things rest. It only, oft times, and the reason I bring this up is that oft times, today you hear men talk about having faith. Well, brother, you just gotta have faith. And what do they mean by that? Well, usually when men talk about having faith, they mean something akin to the power of positive thinking. Do they not? You just gotta believe it strong enough. I mean, if you believe it strong enough, then you'll have it. I mean, they use that passage of Scripture where the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. And so they say, see there? The Lord said, you gotta have enough faith to do it. Well, that wasn't what the Lord was teaching when He taught there. What the Lord taught there was He said, if you had faith. But He wasn't saying if you had enough faith. He said if you had faith. The point that He was making was not that they didn't have enough faith, but they didn't have faith at all. Because you see, He said if you had it, you would say, be thou removed and it be done. And so you see, the basis of our faith is not our faith. Now this is the place where a lot of people believe that it is you got to have faith in your faith. You just got to have faith. Well, the problem, the reason that you're sick is because you don't have enough faith. Because if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. Well, people are sick and die every day. I mean, they were sick and died in the day that the Lord Jesus was walking upon the earth. And they're going to be sick and die every day from here on out until the Lord comes back. That's just the nature of man. That's the way of the flesh, is to fail. We're going to have diseases, and those diseases are going to invade our bodies. Now, the Lord may see fit to heal us in a way which cannot be explained by man's medicinal exercises and whatnot. There are such things, I believe, as what men would call miraculous healings. I don't think there's such a thing as a miraculous healing in the kingdom of God, because we know that whether a man's healed or whether he dies, it's in the will of God and according to His purpose. So it's not like God suspends time and space and heals somebody and then He says, well, now I'll get back to normal. No, He ordained the healing as much as He did the dying. We see that with Lazarus. I mean, He ordained Lazarus' death. Why did He ordain Lazarus' death? So that He might demonstrate that He had the power of life. And so it is that the Lord causes all things to occur according to His purpose. But faith is not in itself. Faith is not an end in itself. We don't have faith in order to have faith. Now, it is a common thing for men to talk about the assurance of faith. Well, we want to know that we're saved. And so consequently, if we can believe that we believed, then we have confidence. But if you don't believe that you believed, then you can't have confidence. So you got to have something concrete to say, well, I believe, so you can fill out a coupon. And you can write your name on it and say, on such and such a date, I believed. And then if you ever get to doubting it, you can go and get your piece of paper and read it and say, well, see there, I believed. Now, that'll be all right until a rat eats the paper. And then you won't be able to have that assurance anymore. But you see, that's a false assurance to start with. Because you don't believe in your belief. Our faith is Christ. And that's a very present object, is it not? I mean, we're not believing that we believe. We're believing that Christ died on Calvary's cross. You see, that's what faith is. That is our faith. But then He says something here. He said that by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. That's the faith that he's talking about. But then he speaks about hope, because he says, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, faith is that which rests in Christ, but hope is the expectation that one would expect or see that he will have as a result of that which Christ has performed. And Christ is our faith, but he's also our hope, is he not? He is our hope. That's what he says here. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold, for the hope is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, faith is that wherein a man rests in Christ, but hope is that which causes a man to look beyond the present moment. You see, faith is that which surveys what Christ has done and says it's sufficient. It's that which I'm resting in. We're not looking for something we're going to perform or something we're going to add to what Christ did, but we say Christ did it all. When he said it's finished, we believe that. See, that's where our faith is resting. But the hope that he speaks about here is an anchor of the soul, which is that which we look as a result of what Christ did. And this is the hope. That is that which it is. The scripture speaks about in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Paul speaks about the fact that let's just read it. Go over here to the 8th chapter. And he said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Now faith is seen, is it not? I mean, we know what Christ did. We know that Christ went to Calvary's cross and he offered up himself as an offering for sin. And so we see that. But he said here, hope. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that, then we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So you see, faith is that which causes us to rest in Christ, but hope is that which causes us to look outside and towards that which we believe Christ has accomplished in our behalf. It's just like Paul said this. He said, if in this life we only have hope, that is, if we believe that what Christ did just simply causes us to be able to have a better life as we walk through this world, we're of all men most miserable. Are we not? Because this flesh, this fleshly existence, that's a pretty bleak thing. Well, we're going to wind up in the grave out there. I mean, well, we had a good life. We lived life to the fullest, and well, that's it. Won't ever see you again. That won't ever know anything or whatever. We're just going to go and be worm food. That's it. We'd be of all men most miserable. Why is that? Because you see, that which we have been given to believe is not simply just in what we believe Christ has done, but that which we believe he did it for. See, Christ purchased the redemption of his people. Is that just something in theory? No, he purchased the redemption of his people that they might through the ages to come, according to what he says in the book of Ephesians, that through the ages to come we might give glory unto his name. And it is that wherein our hope lies, that we expect that we shall not be of all men most miserable, because we believe that Christ did both die and rise again, and if he rose again, then those also who are dead in Christ shall he bring with him. He'll not leave them in the grave, but He will bring them out of that place from whence they are. And that's what He said, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered. Now, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, He says, I'm going away. And they were sad, because they didn't want Him to go away. But He said, I'm telling you, I'm going away. Over in John chapter 14, let's turn over there and read it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now they did believe in Him, didn't they not? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But He said, in my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. In other words, there's plenty of room there. Men think about mansions and they get off on the wrong track with what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying there. He wasn't talking about He was building great mansions in the sense that men think of worldly and earthly mansions, as I've heard people speak about before. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I don't want a cabin. I want a mansion and all of that kind of stuff. That's not what He means here, but He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Many dwellings, there's place for us, for the people of God. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, dear brethren, that's one of the most comforting passages of Scripture that you will ever read. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if this was not so, I would have told you. Now, let me tell you something. A man who has faith in Christ finds a great place of hope in those words. Amen. Now, if you don't believe Christ told the truth, then you wouldn't have any basis to have any hope in that, would you? I mean, if I told you, give me all your money and I'll invest it for you, and you don't worry about a thing and everything will be all right in the end. That'd be built on false premises based on my record. I mean, you wouldn't have any grounds upon which to have any confidence in that. But based on who the one is that's saying here, see, that's where our faith rests, is in Christ. He said, if it's not so, I would have told you, and I believe Him. I believe He wouldn't mislead His people. I believe He'd tell them the truth. Why? Because I believe He is the truth. And there is no truth outside of Him. Amen, sister. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going to do it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Paul, why'd Paul say, if we'd be of all men most miserable, if the dead rise not? Why? Not simply because we wouldn't have a place. Not simply because we would die and be in the ground, but we would have been deceived totally. Because Christ would have told us something that wasn't so. So you see, those who fled for refuge to Christ, those who built their hope on Christ, those whose faith rests in Christ, they must have a hope. And that hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And His righteousness, He said, if it was not so, I would have told you, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you see, that's the basis of our faith, is it not? And it is the ground of our hope. Because we look beyond the present time, and I'm here to tell you today, dear brethren, that outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that He has triumphed over death, we would be totally miserable if we had nothing else. But see, we're not in that state. Because which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. See, He has called us. He said, wherever I am, there ye may be. Well, where is He? He's entered into the veil. He's entered into the holy place. He's entered in to a place where it was impossible for men to go. Even as our high priest, forever after the order of Melchizedek. Even into the very presence of God. And this is that upon which we hope. See, we look for it. Now, men say, well, all you believe in is a pie in the sky by and by. Well, I'm glad we have a pie to look forward to. But you see, the pie is not a pie that the natural man would have any enjoyment in, is it? Now, men, when men die, they generally spend a lot of time talking about how, at the funerals and whatnot, they'll talk about how good a person this was and all the good things he did and everything, and that's about it. I mean, that's about all they can say. But that's really of no comfort or help to the people of God. I'm not interested, dear brethren, in any of that stuff being said for me. Don't y'all let anybody say that kind of junk. Because, you know, the only thing that is important to those who have fled for refuge to Christ is that Christ is the one who said that He would gather that which belongs to Him and bring it to Himself. And that is our hope. And nothing in this world has anything whatsoever to do with it. It's passing away. We're passing away. We're moving on. But our hope will be as real in the ages to come as it is right now. In fact, it will be realized because He said, hope that is seen is not hope. There's a day when we won't have hope anymore. Now, I believe that we will always have faith. Because our faith will always be in the one who did what He said He would do. Our faith is in Him. Faith will never pass away. But hope, that will one day be gone because hope will be realized. And hope, when it's seen, is no longer hope because we have that for which we hoped. But the one in whom all of our expectation rests, He's going to be the same forever. And we shall gather around His throne and worship Him because He's worthy to be worshipped. He's the one in whom all of our care is cast. And we believe what He said, do we not? If we don't, then what basis? If we don't believe that what Christ did was our salvation, what do we believe it was? I mean, is it that we need to be baptized? Is it that we need to cut our hair a certain way? Is it that we need to join a certain church? Is it, what is it? It's what Christ did. That's the place where we stand. We believe that He did, and we hope, dear brethren. We have hope that those things that he accomplished shall yet be ours. May the Lord help us.